Thank you. When I saw the shepherd with that little rabbit, it made me think of Bunny. So she's going to come and read to us now from John chapter 10.
If I stumble a bit when I'm reading this, it's because he's drawn all over his Bible. I've never seen anything like it.
They're called footnotes, actually.
Okay. I am up to no good. No. Oh, I'm sorry. I am the gate. I told you I couldn't read it. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. See? Sheep rustlers, every one of them, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary.
Brilliant, Bunny. That was a funny slip. I didn't anticipate that happening. Okay. Lord, again, just bless this word to us for your glory. Amen. So the text is, in fact, I am the gate. Jesus speaking, of course, and I am the good shepherd. But somebody said once, might have been Bob Hunt, it was a clever man, I know, he said this, if you take a text out of its context, it becomes a pretext. So I'm going to put that couple of verses that Bunny read into context by going back to chapter 9 of John. And what we read there is they were walking down the street. Jesus had his disciples with him. They saw a blind man, blind from birth. His disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents causing him to be born blind? Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There's no such cause-effect here. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines. When night falls, the workday is over. For as long as I'm in the world, there is plenty of light because I am the world's light. So, having said this, he spat in the dust. And then he made a clay paste with saliva. He rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes, and he said to the blind man, go and wash at the pool of Siloam. The man went and washed and saw. The town was buzzing. His relatives and those who year after year had seen him as a blind man begging were saying, this isn't the man we knew who sat here and begged. Others said, it's him, all right. Others objected, it's not the same man. It just looks like him. Then the man spoke up for himself. He said, it's me. I'm the very one. So they said, well, how did your eyes get opened? Well, a man named Jesus made a paste and he rubbed it on my eyes and he said to me, go to Siloam and wash. I did what he said. When I washed, I saw. Well, where is he? I don't know, said the man. So they marched the man to the Pharisees. They're the religious leaders of the day. This day when Jesus made the paste and healed his blindness was the Sabbath. Fancy Jesus making a mistake like that, working on the Sabbath. That's my little paraphrase. The Pharisees grilled him again on how he'd come to see. The blind man said, "He put clay paste on my eyes, I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "Obviously, this man cannot be from God because he doesn't even keep the Sabbath." Others countered, said, "Well, how can a bad man do miraculous God-revealing things like this?" So even amongst the Pharisees, there was a split amongst them. So they came back to the blind man. "You're the expert. He opened your eyes. What do you say about him?" And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews didn't believe it. Didn't believe the man was blind to begin with. So they called his parents of the man over. And they asked them, "Is this your son, the one you say was born blind? How is it he now sees?" His parents said, "We know he is our son. We know he was born blind, but we don't know how he came to see." Haven't a clue who opened his eyes. "Why don't you ask the man? He's a grown man. He can speak for himself." Now, his parents were talking like this because they were intimidated by the Pharisees, who had already decided if anybody took a stand for the Messiah, he'd be kicked out of their meeting place. That's why the parents said, "Don't ask us, ask him, our son." So they went back a second time. They said to him, "Why don't you give credit to God? We know you are an imposter. He is an imposter." He replied, "I don't know anything about that one way or the other. One thing I know for sure, I was blind, but now I see." "So what did he do to you then? How did he do it? I've told you over and over. You haven't listened. Why do you want to hear it again? Are you so eager to become his disciples?" With all that, they jumped all over him. Wow. The man said, "You claim to know nothing about him, but the fact is, he opened my eyes." It's well known that God is not at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does his will. The fact that someone has opened the eyes of a man born blind has never been heard of, ever. And he's not wrong, because if you go through the Old Testament, for example, no one born blind is ever healed of their blindness. The fact that someone opened the eyes of a man born blind has never been heard of. If this man didn't come from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. They said to him, "You're nothing but dirt. How dare you take that tone with us?" They threw him out in the street. Jesus heard they'd thrown him out. And in his love, he goes and finds him. And he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man said, "Point him to me so I can believe in him." Well, you know what Jesus said? "You're looking right at him. Don't you recognize my voice? Master, I believe." And he worshipped him. And then Jesus said, "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, make all distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see. And those who've made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." The Pharisees overheard him and said, "You talking about us, calling us blind?" Jesus said, "If you were really blind, you would not be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you are accountable for every fault and every failure." Jesus goes on to say, to explain, The shepherd will walk right up to the gate, beginning of chapter 10. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him. The sheep recognize his voice. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? The sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. If you call Christians the sheep, which we can for this purpose, and we saw that lovely photograph, we heard his voice. Now, I know someone who heard the voice of God truly. She was married, in bed with her husband. He was snoring so loud, she told me the story herself, snoring so loud, she couldn't sleep. So she kind of sat up in bed and it was pitch black. And she's still thinking, probably praying silently, just shut him up, you know. And she heard from just outside the bedroom door a voice calling her name. Now she has a proper name and a nickname that all her friends and family use. And he used the nickname. So she's sitting up. She's sitting right up with her back against the wall. And she's thinking, I don't understand what's happening here. And he spoke the voice again. So she might have been a bit dozy or dopey the first time, but she was wide awake by the time he spoke again and just spoke her name again. And later that week, she told me what happened. I've never heard the voice of God. There may be others here that would say, yeah, I have. But where we do hear the voice of God more generally is through the Bible. So I did hear him in that sense a long time ago, just before I met Mr. and Mrs. Nathan Hunt and their family. God had spoken to me through a verse in the Bible. I guess most of us have been converted either by listening to a verse in the Bible or listening to somebody explaining a verse in the Bible. Anyone who's a Christian, one way or another, like the sheep, have heard his voice, recognized his voice. I know a man called John Bishop, who owns a farm. Some of you might know Rushall Farm. It's used quite often by the church in the Reading area. Him and Lindsay, they're still there, but they're not doing as much hard work. They've got other people to do that now. But he told me once, I didn't really believe him at the time, but he told me once that he knows the name of every sheep. Because he gives them a name. And when he goes up to the sheepfold, because he wants to move them out to go somewhere else, he calls them one at a time. The gatekeeper opens the gate and they follow John. Because they've actually recognized his voice as he's called their names. And that's like the same with us. We might not have known who it was initially, but at some point, to become a Christian, you end up becoming a sheep who hears his voice calling you by name. Not everybody that he calls responds positively, but most of us do. And this man in the story responded positively. Jesus goes on to say, if a person climbs over the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. He's a rustler, as Bunny read. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate. The sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And they follow him because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice. If I went and called John bishop's sheep to follow me, they'd all turn around and walk the other way. They're not going to follow me because they don't know me. They've never heard my voice. I don't know what their names are anyway. But I do it for John. I came, said Jesus, so that the sheep, people, he means, can have a real and everlasting life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I am the good shepherd. As Bunny read, the good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrificing himself if necessary. So twice Jesus calls himself the gate, and twice he calls himself the good shepherd. What is a gate for? What does a gate do? You're allowed to answer me? Any suggestions?
Keeps animals in.
Keeps animals in. Yep. I was thinking of something else.
Keep danger away.
Keep danger away. Yep.
Marks
a boundary. Good answer.
Lets you in or out.
Lets you in or out. Where does it let you in or out to? So if I wanted to get back to my car in the car park, I have to go through the door, which is another interpretation of the gate. I want to get out of the door because I want to get somewhere I want to be. Back in the cars, get home safely. So here's the gate. He actually takes us somewhere. If we say yes to Jesus, and it's just possible there's somebody who's been looking and thinking and praying for a while, but haven't quite yet said yes to Jesus, and I'm not going to look at anybody by face or name, but you know, once you say yes to Jesus, he will take you through that gate into the place actually you've always wanted to be, where you are safe, you are secure, all those things that in the songs that Jenny so aptly chose. So he is the gate. But he's more than the gate. He's also the shepherd as well. It's wonderful. The good shepherd. The good shepherd who puts the sheep before himself, sacrificing himself if necessary. And of course, as he read those words, said those words, he knew he was going to sacrifice himself because he knew that's why the Father came, sent him. He came in the Father's will. I am the good shepherd who sacrifices himself if necessary. He knew it was necessary. The Father knows me. I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. They will also recognize my voice. There'll be one flock coming through the gate, and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I freely lay down my life. I'm free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down by free will, and I have the right to take it back. I've received this authority personally from my Father. This kind of talk, the Pharisees were still there. He was still talking to them. They start saying this. He's crazy. He's a maniac. He's out of his head completely. Why bother listening to him? Others said, not so sure. These aren't the words of a crazy man. Can a maniac open the eyes of a blind man? And the answer is, you don't have to be a maniac to be unable to open the eyes of a blind man, but if you are a maniac, there's no chance. He is who he claims to be. He is the gate. He is the good shepherd. I don't know a Christian who a few months later said, oh, I became a Christian. Since then, my life's been rubbish. In fact, I'm going to say I've changed my mind. I'm going to go back to being what I was like before I became a Christian. I think I was happier then. Have you ever met anybody who said that to you? I've never met it. It's not going to happen. Because when we walk through the gate, he takes us to the place we've always wanted to be. And we enjoy him forever. Hallelujah. And during the rest of our lives, we discover what him being a good shepherd means, because we know from the moment we say yes to Jesus, we are having someone, a relationship with someone who's going to look after us. And we begin to hear him talking to us through his word, perhaps through the bedroom door, wherever it happens. He will talk with us. That's what shepherds do. They lead and they guide and they keep their sheep safe. And that's what Jesus does for us. Hallelujah. Amen. End of the sermon. Yippee.